Yes, indeed. And this morning I am joined by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Good morning to you, Teresa.
Good morning, Denny. Hope you guys can hear me now.
Absolutely. Nice, loud and clear.
Excellent.
And, that's good for our listeners because, as you know, we tend to get a little busy during this hour.
We do.
I was thinking, we've got about 3 days and it's officially spring, something like that.
And somewhere maybe it's spring.
Yeah. But I just heard the forecast, so it's not too promising, but it'll happen.
Yeah, but it'll get there. Yeah, it'll get there.
And there will be some, looking at the daytime highs this week, and plus a little rain here and there, so there'll be some melting for sure. But in the meantime,
a lot of melting, and it's a slow melting, which is good because we don't want everything to melt at once. That's flooding.
Absolutely.
We don't want that. We want to keep all that water because we're really greedy. So we want
we need it considering last year. We really need to
recharge those aquifers and plump up our soils.
So any kind of a lawn or garden question, we welcome yours. You can call it in. We'd love to hear your voice. You can chat with Teresa if you like. Or if it's easier, just send a text like some folks are already doing. Either way, just one number will get you, a phone call or a text, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Texter says, when can I start my tomatoes indoors?
Just about now is a really good time to start your tomatoes. And if you're looking for suggestions about which varieties, the Master Gardeners do seed trials every year on all different kinds of vegetables and flowers. And you can get that information from the extension.umn.edu website when you click on the Yard and Garden tab. So they'll give you some cool ideas which ones to grow. But now is about a good time. It's not a good time yet probably to start like squashes and things that come up a little faster because they'll get too long. So read the seed packets and figure out your frost date and backtrack a little bit, and you can figure out when's the best time to plant those seedlings, those seeds.
I always like to find out, Teresa, what you and Mary and Julie are doing this time of year. Are you reading seed packets and catalogs yet? And what are you up to?
Reading seed packets, dreaming about gardening, looking out my windows, figuring, that's where I've been looking out all the time, watching the snow. Maybe I should plant a garden there. Just thinking about what I'm going to plant and getting excited and trying to put the brakes on a little because it's too early to do a lot of things. But it's also a good time to be pruning our trees and shrubs. And
it is still.
It is still. Yep, the Extension website has a good article on that, so look into that. Certain ones, if you prune now, you're going to be losing all your flowers, like your lilacs and your azaleas and things. But, there's various ways to prune, and there's some things that need to prune. You know what's another really good thing to do right now? Take your camera phone, your phone. I'm old-fashioned, I guess. Take your phone. Go outside and look at what the bunnies are doing and the deer, where you see the tracks. Take pictures. And then if you see shrubs that have been gnawed or damaged by any of those pests, take your calendar and say October 1st. Put yourself a little note on the calendar to protect that arborvitae, to protect that spirea. Just make a note, and then you'll have a picture, and you can say, see picture from 318 or whatever, and you have that note in your calendar. It'll bing up in October, and you won't have to think of it till October then. You won't have to remember which shrubs the bunnies ate or the deer ate or anything like that. It'll just be a reminder to protect those things next year because it's kind of late now.
Well, either
like I mean, you can, but yeah. But
either a phone or a camera.
Or a camera.
Either way.
Or both. Yeah. And then just make your note on your paper calendar or your phone calendar or however you remind yourself of tasks that you have to do in the future. And you put it out there and it's on that calendar and you don't have to worry about what you had to do in October. You don't think, what was that? What was I supposed to do? What was Teresa babbling about? It was right there.
But that is. It's a good idea. Texter says this. They have a family of squirrels living inside a mature box elder tree. Can they weaken the tree, and should I cut it down? The tree, though, gives needed shade over my garden. Thanks. Love the show. Thank you.
I would probably maybe think about planting a new tree and just understand that the hole that they're living in, if they're living in a hole, the squirrels aren't really going to expand that much. They're not doing any damage. The hole's already there. They'll do some pruning on the tree, which the box elder can easily handle, and it should be just fine. So they're just taking advantage of like free rent.
What have you heard, if anything, about any tree diseases? How are we doing so far around these parts? Have you heard?
The emerald ash borer is still a problem. We do have to worry about the, it used to be called gypsy moth, and now it's something else, spongy moth. That will probably be coming in. There are some insects that are coming in because of our winters are milder. Yes, they usually are. This year's been a little weird, but the temperatures are milder, so a lot more of those insects can move north. But I haven't heard of any major big diseases that I should be aware of. Anything new? Oak wilt's still an issue. The emerald ash borer deals and Dutch elm disease. I haven't heard of anything new that I'm aware of.
You know, speaking of oaks, I know we're going to be getting
Dutch elm disease. I haven't heard of anything new that I'm aware of.
You know, speaking of oaks, I know we're going to be getting, if we haven't already, some questions about, can I still trim my oak trees? Is the window still there, or is it too late now for a while?
I think the window's still there, if not on these warm days that are coming up, because some insects could be active then, but on the cooler days. And if you're really worried, I would contact your certified arborist or look at the temperatures in your area, or definitely go to the Extension website and verify that, yes, it's still okay. But it's been cold enough out there, like now it's only, you know, 13 degrees, I think. 15 degrees, 13. So, yeah, you could be out there pruning now. That's fine. There's no insects moving things around.
And I see outside of today, which is a chilly day, the daytime highs this coming week will only be around 40, 41, something
and
that, like that.
That is technically okay for insects to fly around because it's above freezing. So you just have to kind of worry sometimes. But, you know, if it's a big oak and it means something to you, you're not going to be doing the pruning anyway. You're going to be contacting a certified arborist. And they will then tell you yes or no if they can get you in and if it's going to happen.
In the meantime, Teresa, we'll take a quick break, inviting our listeners to join us in this conversation. Lawn or garden questions, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, we moved to 13 degrees. With a high very much below average, near 24 today, but for your Sunday tomorrow, sunny near 35. Again, 13 degrees here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Our thanks to folks like Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions this very morning. If you want to call and chat with Teresa, or if you'd rather just send her a text, either way, 651-461-9226. And again, Teresa, as you know, and as we like to do, we'll mention from time to time the University of Minnesota Extension website, extension.umn.edu, a great resource, great reading. Those folks put in a lot of hard work into that, and that's one of the best websites, I think, in the country as far as extension goes.
It really certainly is. And the website says you can trim your oaks till April.
Till April.
Till April. So you've got the whole month, which is really only half a month left.
That's true.
Get on it, people.
All right. And this listener says this, Teresa, I overseeded my yard last fall. What type of fertilizer should I use in the spring, if any at all?
I would probably wait until the grass is up and growing and then just use a regular 10-10-10 10-0-10 or whatever lawn fertilizer you need if you want to, and then just lightly do it. Let the grass get established first. It will be new grass, and so it will be very tender, so you don't want to burn it with a fertilizer. If you want to be even extra careful, you can go with an organic fertilizer that will be very, very low, like 4-0-2 or something like that. That first number is what you're looking for to be the highest number, and normally in the lawns, we want a 0 in the middle for no phosphorus in the metro area.
And I know usually around this time of year we get a lot of questions. Can I rake? Is it too early to rake? Well, we don't get any questions about raking yet because it's
go
obvious.
Go out there and rake. I want to see you raking your snow.
But,
come on,
soon to come, I'm sure.
Yes.
Again, another text message. Let's see if I can find it here. Oh, yeah. Good morning. It says, I'm going to be starting a butterfly garden in a half-acre plot that last fall had been overgrown weeds. It was tilled under last fall. What would be my next step? Thank you, Teresa, the texter says.
Whoa, that's going to be tough. If you just tilled under, you may have destroyed some of the plants that were there already, but the seeds of the weeds are now back up at the surface for the new crop of weeds. So you may need to actually, before you, unless you're planting plants, but before you plant anything, you may actually need to wait to see what comes up and then get rid of what comes up and then plant your butterfly garden. Some of the, I would definitely suggest that you go to extension.umn.edu. They'll have some good information on planting a butterfly garden. And if you can, watch for Master Gardeners teaching butterfly plants or teaching about butterfly gardens and plants and get some information from them. Good luck on your butterfly garden.
Kind of a follow-up on what you just commented on. The texter wants to know, what do the three numbers in fertilizers stand for?
Oh, that's really good. Okay, so say it says 10, 5, 10. We're going to do that. The first number is nitrogen, NPK it's going to be. So nitrogen, that helps with the greening, the leaves, things like that. Nitrogen moves through our soil very easily, very quickly, and so that number is often quite higher. And the second number is phosphorus, which is helps with root development. Here in the Twin Cities 7 metro area, 7 county metro area, we have very high phosphorus in our soils. So if you're planting a lawn, you don't want to use anything with any number in the middle. If you're planting a garden, normally that can stay there, so you can use that. That's that number. And then the last number is K, which is potassium. And that also helps with stems and flower. The middle number, phosphorus, helps with flowering. Let me go back to that number. Your lawns don't flower or normally shouldn't. So you don't have to worry about that being a high number. But for your tomatoes and things like that, you do want that to be a good number in there because you want it to flower, your beans to flower, your squashes to flower. Then we go to the final number, K, which is potassium, and that just helps with stem strength and some root development, but mostly stem strength. So those are the three numbers, and the fertilizers will have them on there. Normally, your organic fertilizers will have lower amounts, and your non-organic fertilizers will have higher amounts because they can make them in. So if you have a 10, 5, 10, that's 25. The rest of the stuff in that package, 75% of it is just inert organic or inert ingredients or just filler, and that's normal. So that means 10% of it is nitrogen, 5% is phosphorus, 10% is potassium.
Okay, good. So it's nitrogen, phosphorus,
potassium.
Potassium,
NPK.
Okay, very yep. good. Thank you for that. Thanks
so now you've
listening.
Also learned some chemistry there, and you can impress people by saying, oh, yes, N means nitrogen, and K means potassium. I'm very smart.
Very good. Here's a tree question. We were just talking about that. Does treating green ash trees for emerald ash borer prevent disease? It's been recommended to have it done at their house every 2 years.
What it does is it actually is a systemic, which means it gets throughout the whole tree and makes the tree like poisonous to the caterpillars or the grubs that make the tunnels and block and destroy the tree. So that's what you're doing. You're making the whole tree poisonous.
If you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions this morning. Here's another one. I thought deer did not like lilacs, but they're munching my lilac shrubs the past 2 weeks. Can I spray, or is it too late to do anything about that?
You can still put up something that will be that will have a bad smell, and that may discourage them. You can also put up fencing if you'd like. Once they know where something is to eat, though, they're going to eat it. There's a lot of plants that are, you know, not resistant, rabbit or deer resistant, but if you're really hungry, you'll eat just about anything. So they've had a lot of snow, and a lot of their stuff has been covered, so the damage is a little higher, and maybe you may see damage on things that you've never seen before.
Yeah, it is. It's been a tough winter for
it has been for those
some
little
critters
outside. Nobody's serving them buffets every day.
No,
they have
indeed.
To go out and find their food. And if you look around, there's not much out there to eat for them.
Very good. I tell you what, let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll have a look at that forecast, see what we're facing here in the coming week. And in the meantime, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, please don't wait. You can call it in or text it in, 651-461-9226. We'll get to that forecast next. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you once again. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering your lawn and garden type of questions, either by phone or by text. If you'd like to call, we'd love to hear your voice. Otherwise, you can just send a text like a lot of folks are doing. 651-461-9226. Teresa, another thing we'd like to talk about every Saturday is the Arboretum. I'm not sure, I may be catching you unawares, but I haven't looked lately, and I got to get back out there. What's going on? There's always something going
There's
on.
There's always something. There's a class tomorrow, or a, I don't know what they call it, a class, a whatever, a presentation on sugaring, which is how they do the sap at the Arboretum. And that means that next weekend on the 26th, you can have a pancake breakfast. So, okay, I haven't had breakfast yet, so that sounds really good. But there's all kinds of great classes going on at the Arboretum right now. There's a self-paced class that just started on the 11th, so you can still join up. That's planting for climate change or dealing with climate change. So it's climate-ready plants. That's what it's called. Most of the trails are kind of icy, so you might not be able to get out as far as, or be really careful if you do, but always call ahead and check. You do need to have a ticket. You need to call ahead and get a reservation to go out to the Arboretum. There's just lots of beautiful art in the art galleries. There's a wonderful bookstore. There's the conservatory, so if you just need to breathe in some nice plant humidified air and look at some pretty green plants and flowers, go to the conservatory and enjoy it. So there's just so much going on at the Arboretum right now. It's even in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
Okay, almost spring, but in Minnesota it seems like the middle of winter.
We always like to say, and a lot of folks do that very thing, they bring friends and visiting relatives to the Arboretum. And again, reservations are online. They make it very easy, and mm-hmm. making it parking even easier yet. So
which is wonderful. Yeah, but it really is a jewel for Minnesota.
Yeah.
And bring those people who come in from warmer states and they think there's nothing to do and nothing going on and beautiful in Minnesota. And you take them out to the Arb and that'll change their mind.
Absolutely. Just go west Highway 5 to 41 and you're just about there. Texter says this, good morning. Can you talk about using shredded paper as part of a homemade leaf mulch? Is it okay?
Sure, you could use the paper. If you're making the paper is going to mat down, so I would probably mix it in very well with the leaves. And if you have something like oak leaves, that's going to be really good because oak leaves don't mat down very well. The other leaves might mat down a little bit. But just start out with a smaller amount, maybe 1 inch, and see how your plants react. Make sure that your combination of whatever percentage you're going leaf and paper is fine. Don't use glossy paper. And most of the inks now that we're using are fine. They're soy-based, so you don't have to worry about that issue. Make sure you take like all the little plasticky windows off of envelopes or anything if you're shredding that. But I kind of think it's a good way for security because there's no security, you know, no thief is going to be going through your mulch looking and trying to put those shreds back together again.
That's true. That's a good point.
And you can use it in your compost bin, too. It's going to be a brown matter because it's very dry, so you'll need to make sure you're adding enough green to counteract it.
And like you said, it's a soy-based ink now.
Soy-based ink, and it's fun.
Yeah.
And even the colors on the comic, if anybody gets newspapers, the comics are all soy-based, just not the glossy stuff because there's something glossy there. That's not
very good. Thank you for that text. If you want to call in your question or text, 651-461-9226. Here is another one. We received 2 3-foot-wide raised planters. Can we raise all kinds of vegetables in them, tomatoes, peas, root vegetables, etc.? Do we need to cover them to keep the deer out? Well, I'm thinking more of the squirrels and raccoons and rabbits.
I'm jealous that you got those containers. That's wonderful. Yes, you can raise all kinds of vegetables in there. You won't have to worry about the rabbits as much because it's 3 feet high. It's going to be up higher. But, yep, just put some chicken wire around. That will keep out the squirrels and the deer. The squirrels will climb over if you don't put a top on. If you have chipmunks, you may want to use hardware cloth. But yes, you can grow all kinds of vegetables in there, and that's just wonderful. I'm happy for you.
Well, I'd like to do that too. That sounds
yeah,
neat.
I would too. And then you don't have to bend over so far because it's a little higher.
Yeah,
and, you know, you're concentrating all your efforts and your compost and everything in one area, and you know where your garden is, and the weeds aren't going to get in as easily.
So good for them.
Good for them.
Let's grab some phone calls, Teresa. Kevin is calling in this morning from Waseca, I do believe. Kevin, good morning. What is your question for Teresa?
Oh, very good morning to you. Your remarks about fertilizer kind of aroused my curiosity. Number one is the earlier you put on lawn fertilizer, specifically nitrogen, is it better? And secondarily, I have access to agricultural fertilizer. And you said, I think I heard you say that, you know, a lot of it is filler or whatever in the bags or whatever. Is it better, or you feel get better results from buying from, let's say, an ag store versus from a big box store, you know, generically?
Those are good questions. Yep, those are really good questions, Kevin. Thanks for those. Okay, so the earlier you put on the fertilizer for your lawn, you want to make sure your lawn is up and growing, that the soil is frost-free, obviously, then the lawn grows, because you want that fertilizer to be able to sink in. And you want to put it on at the rate that the bag recommends. That would be the same for the agricultural fertilizer. It probably is not... you may be getting a better deal because you're getting bigger bags, maybe at less money, but it will also have those three numbers on it so that you know what you're putting down, and it will tell you how to put that down, what rate to put it down at, and that will help you a lot to figure out, you know, how much you need and everything else. So just like food, more is not necessarily better. You want a good balance. You don't want to over-fertilize your plants because then you're just going to have to be cutting your grass faster, or you may even burn your grass if you put down too much at one time. So always follow the directions on the bag, and that will help you. And wherever you can get the best deal on your fertilizer, that's what you want to look for. Good luck, Kevin.
All right, good. Thanks, Kevin. Judy is calling in this morning from Bloomington, I believe. Judy, thanks for waiting. What's your question for Teresa?
My question is, we have a cabin up north on a lake, and our yard is full of dandelions. And I had heard that if you mow the dandelions down as they're coming to bloom, keep doing that, you would get rid of dandelions. Or do you have any other suggestions? Since we're on a lake, I hate to use anything.
Right, Judy, those are really good questions, or that's a good question. First of all, I'm kind of jealous of all your dandelions. Dandelions are really important for our bumblebees as they come out of hibernation in the spring. That's one of the first flowers our pollinators can actually see out there. But I understand the issue if you don't want dandelions in your yard. Mowing them down, that would probably be a many, 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 many year process. Dandelions have a huge taproot, and they have a lot of energy stored up in that taproot. So what I would suggest, if you don't want to use a chemical carefully that says it's for dandelions, a liquid chemical, that would be digging them up. What you can do too, if you don't want to dig them up, is just get like a knife or something and cut them off at ground level. Now, they still have that huge taproot in there, and that taproot will keep sending up dandelions. But if you stay on top of it and keep cutting the green stuff, that would be like not mowing, but actually physically cutting the green that sprouts up. eventually, after a few years, you may take all the energy out of that taproot. Mowing is probably not going to work because dandelion leaves are flat on the soil, and they'll be under the mower blade. You're not going to get them. They're still going to green. They're still going to photosynthesize, and even the second flowers in August are usually like right at the ground level, and mowers can't get them. So it's a more of a physical thing that you're going to have to dig them out if you don't want them. But as soon as they flower, if you cut off the flower heads, they're not going to recede. So the dandelion doesn't send out roots that make other dandelions. It just has the one taproot. So you'll just have the same number of plants all the time. Good luck with that.
This listener, Teresa, says, I have a can of Canova I purchased last fall. It's in a pot inside, doing well. Should I plant it outside? Will it bloom? If so, what should I do in the fall?
Okay, I'm going to take a wild guess that's a canna plant, and the canova is the kind of canna that it is. Canna is the great big leaf plant. I would definitely, if it's potted up now, that's fine. Wait till the soil is warm and then pot it outside. You can put it in the ground, or you can just put it in a nice big pot and use it as the center of that pot if it's not going to pull the pot over in a windstorm. And then in the fall, just dig it up. If you want to get it and you don't want to lose the leaves, dig it up obviously before a frost, but otherwise you can let it get hit by the frost, and don't let the soil freeze, though. As soon as it gets hit by the frost, then dig up that bulb, brush it off, and then you can store it. And the Extension website will have really good information about how to store it. If you want to grow it as an indoor houseplant, then just dig it up. You can, if you want to, also just sink the pot in the ground and then just pull up the pot when you want to bring it into the house as a houseplant. Wash the pot off and the plant off really well. When you're putting it outside after it already has the leaves on in the spring, because you're probably growing it as a houseplant right now, you want to adjust it to being outside. So you would do that like you would any other plant that you're, any other vegetable, anything. You need to put it out in the sun for a few hours one day and a few hours more the next day, or set it out in the shade and bring it back in if it's cold at night. You want to get used to being outside, because right now it's living the spa tropical life in your house, and outside in Minnesota is a little tight. You want to get used to being outside, because right now it's living the spa tropical life in your house, and outside in Minnesota is a little different when we plant our plants out in like June. I'd wait till Memorial Day to even think about planting it outside.
All right, very good. Hang on, Teresa. We'll take a quick break and be right back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. You have a question? We have a bunch of texts we can do, or if you want to call, 651-461-9226. It's a Saturday morning in the Twin Cities. We're at 13 degrees. All we're going to muster today for a daytime high is about 24. A windy day again today, but sunny tomorrow, with highs near 35. Again, 13 degrees here on News Talk A3O. This is WCCO. In the meantime, we're back with our remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, answering those questions. And Teresa, wouldn't you know, bunch of phone calls, bunch of text messages. Let us see how many folks we can help out here. Back to the phones we go. Ken is calling in from, I believe, Blaine this morning. Ken, thank you. What is your question?
Good morning. I was thinking about doing kind of a naturalization of my lawn this spring. And I was wondering a couple things. At one time, I know the state of Minnesota was offering grants for people that were doing that. And is there a place where I can find out more information about that, as far as planting clover and a lot of other things?
Yep. Ken, those are really good ideas. What you're looking for is the Lawns to Legumes grant. I would contact someone at Metro Blooms, Metro Blooms, Blooms, and they will be able, or go to their website, and it'll have all the information there, or just Google Lawns to Legumes, like legume, L-E-G-U-M-E-S, M-E. So that's what you're putting on the clover and things like that. And that will give you great ideas about how to go ahead and convert that. And if there's any grants left, if they're taking any grants, or if the grant program, I don't know where that is in the application. Good luck.
Okay. Thanks, Ken. Let's see who else is. Kathleen is next up here, calling in from Maple Lake this morning. Thank you, Kathleen. What is your question?
Well, my question is kind of hitchhiking on to an earlier question about the deer damage. How do we handle this when we've got junipers, yews, blue spruce, cedar, magnolias, hydrangea trees all being eaten by the deer? And this is now like the second or third winter, and in my experience so far, it's not does not seem to be growing back. Do we need to replace these plants and these trees, or will they eventually grow back if we become more aggressive about prohibiting the deer?
If you if they're not growing back already, they won't grow back. Some plants will come back from growing points that are still left. Some of the pines, if they get gnawed down too far, will not. Same with the junipers and things like that. Lots of times there are growing points that can be activated. If you don't see it in one season, that means that plant will not get any bigger or grow back any differently. It's where it is. I would try to protect more aggressively if you possibly can, and then maybe think about switching over to things that aren't so exciting for the deer to eat, and hope maybe some wolves or something move in and take out some of those deers, or the hunter takes out some of the deer population too. But yeah, the deer population, it's something that we have to deal with. And I wish you all the best luck, Catherine. You can go to the website, too, and see if there's any ideas for you.
Extension.umn.edu. Boy, I tell you, Teresa, we just have a couple of minutes to go. Let's grab a quick phone call, phone call and answer from Jeannie in Randolph. Jeannie, what's your question for Teresa?
Yes, we're thinking about planting ornamental grass on the west side of our yard. And I just wondered if you recommend any particular kind and how to plant these grasses.
Jeannie, that's an excellent idea. As long as it's full sun, plant any ones you want that you like, whether it's the miscanthus, which is not native, or any of the native grasses, little blue stem. You could plant some plants that you get at the garden center, and then maybe some tiny little plants between them that you don't pay as much for, little 2 and 3 and 4 3-inch pots, and your big ones will grow, and then eventually the small ones will grow too. But the big ones, the gallon jugs, the gallon containers will be something to look at that first 1 or 2 years till the other ones catch up, and that will help fill in the area a little more cost friendly. But yeah, ornamental grasses are great, and you only have to cut them down in the spring. That's about the only care you need. Make sure they stay nicely watered the first 1 or 2 years. Then they should be fine on their own. Good luck with that.
And before we run out of time, we only have about a minute or so to go, Teresa. Let's remind our listeners to get to the Arboretum. Make reservations online, though, right?
Exactly. Get out to the arbs, see some plants, see some ideas of what your trees look like in the winter when they're full grown, and then do get your reservations, or go to the extension.umn.edu and just get lost in all the wonderful things you can learn on the Yard and Garden page. And you can also connect with Master Gardeners there. And in May, the Hennepin County Master Gardeners will be having a plant sale May 20th at the Hopkins Pavilion. Had to get that in there.
Well, no, that's good. And next time you're on, by all means, remind us again about that.
I will certainly do. I've got it in my notes.
That comes up rather quickly. Yeah, get on the web. Check it out, extension.umn.edu. Always a pleasure, Teresa. Thank you so much for your expertise. I know our listeners love it as well.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you. And everybody stay warm and have fun and be safe.
Absolutely. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Just a reminder, coming along next hour, Andy Lindis will be joining us once again. He'll be answering all of your home improvement questions, so get those. Keep those in mind, and you can call them in or text them in as usual next hour. Just a reminder, I'll be in for Susie Jones tomorrow. She is taking some time off tomorrow morning. We will have on our health hour our guest, Dr. Matthew Puderbaugh. He is a physical medicine and rehabilitation physician in the brain injury medicine area at Hennepin Healthcare. That's what we're going to be talking about, traumatic brain injury tomorrow. concussions, things like that. So keep those in mind, and that'll be in the 7 o'clock hour tomorrow. In the meantime, here's our weather. High today, if you want to call it that, near 24. Low tonight, 6, 35 with sunny tomorrow. Right now, it's 13. Yes, indeed. And this morning, I am joined by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Good morning to you, Teresa.
Good morning, Denny. Hope you guys can hear me now.
Absolutely. Nice, loud and clear.
Excellent.
And, that's good for our listeners because, as you know, we tend to get a little busy during this hour.
We do.
I was thinking, we've got about 3 days and it's officially spring, something like that.
And somewhere maybe it's spring.
Yeah. But I just heard the forecast, so it's not too promising, but it'll happen.
Yeah, but it'll get happen. There. Yeah, it'll get there.
And there will be some, looking at the daytime highs this week, and plus a little rain here and there, so there'll be some melting for sure. But
there'll
in the meantime.
A lot of melting. And it's a slow melting, which is good, because
we
don't
want
everything to melt at once. That's flooding.
Absolutely.
We don't want that. We want to keep all that water because we're really greedy. So we want all that water.
Well, we need it, considering last year.
We need to recharge those aquifers and plump up our soils.
So any kind of a lawn or garden question, we welcome yours. You can call it in. We'd love to hear your voice. You can chat with Teresa if you like. Or if it's easier, just send a text like some folks are already doing. Either way, just one number will get you, a phone call or a text, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Texter says, when can I start my tomatoes indoors?
Just about now is a really good time to start your tomatoes. And if you're looking for suggestions about which varieties, the Master Gardeners do seed trials every year on all different kinds of vegetables and flowers. And you can get that information from the extension.umn.edu website when you click on the Yard and Garden tab. So they'll give you some cool ideas which ones to grow. But now is about a good time. It's not a good time yet probably to start like squashes and things that come up a little faster because they'll get too long. So read the seed packets and figure out your frost date and backtrack a little bit, and you can figure out when's the best time to plant those seeds.
I always like to find out, Teresa, what you and Mary and Julie are doing this time of year. Are you reading seed packets and catalogs yet? And what are you up to?
Reading seed packets, dreaming about gardening, looking out my windows, figuring, that's where I've been looking out all the time, watching the snow. Maybe I should plant a garden there. Just thinking about what I'm going to plant and getting excited and trying to put the brakes on a little because it's too early to do a lot of things. But it's also a good time to be pruning our trees and shrubs. And
it is still.
Yep, the Extension website has a good article on that, so look into that. Certain ones, if you prune now, you're going to be losing all your flowers, like your lilacs and your azaleas and things. But, there's various ways to prune, and there's some things that need to prune. You know what's another really good thing to do right now? Take your camera phone, your phone. I'm old-fashioned, I guess. Take your phone. Go outside and look at what the bunnies are doing and the deer, where you see the tracks. Take pictures. And then if you see shrubs that have been gnawed or damaged by any of those pests, take your calendar and say October 1st. Put yourself a little note on the calendar to protect that arborvitae, to protect that spirea. Just make a note, and then you'll have a picture, and you can say, see picture from 318 or whatever, and you have that note in your calendar. It'll bing up in October, and you won't have to think of it till October then. You won't have to remember which shrubs the bunnies ate or the deer ate or anything like that. It'll just be a reminder to protect those things next year. Because it's kind of late now.
Well, either.
Like I mean, you can, but yeah. But
either a phone or a camera.
Either way. Or both. Yeah. And then just make your note on your paper calendar or your phone calendar, or however you remind yourself of tasks that you have to do in the future. And you put it out there, and it's on that calendar, and you don't have to worry about what you had to do in October. You don't think, what was that? What was I supposed to do? What was Teresa babbling about? It was right there.
But that is. It's a good idea. Texter says this. They have a family of squirrels living inside a mature box elder tree. Can they weaken the tree, and should I cut it down? The tree, though, gives needed shade over my garden. Thanks. Love the show. Thank you.
I would probably maybe think about planting a new tree and just understand that the hole that they're living in, if they're living in a hole, the squirrels aren't really going to expand that much. They're not doing any damage. The hole's already there. They'll do some pruning on the tree, which the box elder can easily handle, and it should be just fine. So they're just taking advantage of like free rent.
What have you heard, if anything, about any tree diseases? How are we doing so far around these parts? Have you heard?
The emerald ash borer is still a problem. We do have to worry about the, it used to be called gypsy moth, and now it's something else, spongy moth. That will probably be coming in. There are some insects that are coming in because of our winters are milder. Yes, they usually are. This year's been a little weird, but the temperatures are milder, so a lot more of those insects can move north. But I haven't heard of any major big diseases that I should be aware of. Anything new? Oak wilt's still an issue, the emerald ash borer deals, and Dutch elm disease. I haven't heard of anything new that I'm aware of.
You know, speaking of oaks, I know we're going to be getting...
Dutch elm disease. I haven't heard of anything new that I'm aware of.
You know, speaking of oaks, I know we're going to be getting, if we haven't already, some questions about, can I still trim my oak trees? Is the window still there, or is it too late now for a while?
I think the window's still there, if not on these warm days that are coming up, because some insects could be active then, but on the cooler days. And if you're really worried, I would contact your certified arborist or look at the temperatures in your area, or definitely go to the Extension website and verify that, yes, it's still okay. But it's been cold enough out there, like now it's only, 13 degrees, I think. 15 degrees, 13. So, yeah, you could be out there pruning now. That's fine. There's no insects moving things around.
And I see outside of today, which is a chilly day, the daytime highs this coming week will only be around 40, 41, something
and
like that.
That is technically okay for insects to fly around because it's above freezing. So you just have to kind of worry sometimes, But, if it's a big oak and it means something to you, you're not going to be doing the pruning anyway. You're going to be contacting a certified arborist. And they will then tell you yes or no if they can get you in and if it's going to happen.
In the meantime, Teresa, we'll take a quick break, inviting our listeners to join us in this conversation. Lawn and garden questions, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, we moved to 13 degrees. With a high very much below average, near 24 today, but for your Sunday tomorrow, sunny near 35. Again, 13 degrees here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Our thanks to folks like Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions this very morning. If you want to call and chat with Teresa, or if you'd rather just send her a text, either way, 651-461-9226. And again, Teresa, as you know, and as we like to do, we'll mention from time to time the University of Minnesota Extension website, extension.umn.edu, a great resource, great reading. Those folks put in a lot of hard work into that, and it's one of the best websites, I think, in the country as far as extension goes.
It really certainly is. And the website says you can trim your oaks till April.
Till April.
Till April. So you've got the whole month, which is really only half a month left.
That's true.
Get on it, people.
All right. And this listener says this, Teresa, I overseeded my yard last fall. What type of fertilizer should I use in the spring, if any at all?
I would probably wait until the grass is up and growing and then just use a regular 10-10-10, 10-0-10 or whatever lawn fertilizer you need if you want to, and then just lightly do it. Let the grass get established first. It will be new grass, and so it will be very tender, so you don't want to burn it with a fertilizer. If you want to be even extra careful, you can go with an organic fertilizer that will be very, very low, like 4.02 or something like that. That first number is what you're looking for to be the highest number, and normally in the lawns, we want a zero in the middle for no phosphorus in the metro area.
And I know usually around this time of year we get a lot of questions. Can I rake? Is it too early to rake? Well, we don't get any questions about raking yet because it's
go
obvious.
Out there and rake. I want to see you raking your snow.
But,
come on, people.
soon to come, I'm sure.
Yes.
Again, another text message. Let's see if I can find it here. Oh, yeah. Good morning. It says, I'm going to be starting a butterfly garden in a half-acre plot that last fall had been overgrown weeds. It was tilled under last fall. What would be my next step? Thank you, Teresa, the texter says.
Whoa, that's going to be tough. If you just tilled under, you may have destroyed some of the plants that were there already, but the seeds of the weeds are now back up at the surface for the new crop of weeds. So you may need to actually, before you, unless you're planting plants, but before you plant anything, you may actually need to wait to see what comes up and then get rid of what comes up and then plant your butterfly garden. Some of the, I would definitely suggest that you go to extension.umn.edu. They'll have some good information on planting a butterfly garden. And if you can, watch for master gardeners teaching butterfly plants or teaching about butterfly gardens and plants and get some information from them. Good luck on your butterfly garden.
Kind of a follow-up on what you just commented on. The texter wants to know, what do the three numbers in fertilizers stand for?
Oh, that's really good. Okay, so say it says 10, 5, 10. We're going to do that. The first number is nitrogen, NPK it's going to be. So nitrogen, that helps with the greening, the leaves, things like that. Nitrogen moves through our soil very easily, very quickly, and so that number is often quite higher. And the second number is phosphorus, which is helps with root development. Here in the Twin Cities 7 metro area, 7 county metro area, we have very high phosphorus in our soils. So if you're planting a lawn, you don't want to use anything with any number in the middle. If you're planting a garden, normally that can stay there, so you can use that. That's that number. And then the last number is K, which is potassium. And that also helps with stems and flower. The middle number, phosphorus, helps with flowering. Let me go back to that number. Your lawns don't flower or normally shouldn't, so you don't have to worry about that being a high number. But for your tomatoes and things like that, you do want that to be a good number in there because you want it to flower, your beans to flower, your squashes to flower. Then we go to the final number, K, which is potassium, and that just helps with stem strength and some root development, but mostly stem strength. So those are the three numbers, and the fertilizers will have them on there. Normally, your organic fertilizers will have lower amounts, and your non-organic fertilizers will have higher amounts because they can make them in. So if you have a 10-5-10, that's 25. The rest of the stuff in that package, 75% of it is just inert organic or inert ingredients or just filler, and that's normal. So that means 10% of it is nitrogen, 5% is phosphorus, 10% is potassium.
Okay, good. So it's nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium.
Potassium, NPK.
Okay, very good. Thank you for that. Thanks
so now you've
listening.
Also learned some chemistry there, and you can impress people by saying, oh, yes, N means nitrogen, and K means potassium. I'm very smart.
Very good. Does treating, here's a tree question. We were just talking about that. Does treating green ash trees for emerald ash borer prevent disease? It's been recommended to have it done at their house every 2 years.
What it does is it actually is a systemic, which means it gets throughout the whole tree and makes the tree like poisonous to the caterpillars or the grubs that make the tunnels and block and destroy the tree. So that's what you're doing. You're making the whole tree poisonous.
If you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Runa answering those lawn and garden questions this morning. Here's another one. I thought deer did not like lilacs, but they're munching my lilac shrubs the past 2 weeks. Can I spray, or is it too late to do anything about that?
You can still put up something that will be that will have a bad smell, and that may discourage them. You can also put up fencing if you'd like. Once they know where something is to eat, though, they're going to eat it. There's a lot of plants that are, you know, not resistant, rabbit or deer resistant. But if you're really hungry, you'll eat just about anything. So they've had a lot of snow, and a lot of their stuff has been covered. So the damage is a little higher, and maybe you may see damage and on things that you've never seen before.
Yeah, it is. It's been a tough winter for
it has been for those
some
little critters
folks
outside. Nobody's serving them buffets every day.
No,
they have
indeed
to go out and find their food, and if you look around, there's not much out there to eat for them.
Very good. I tell you what, let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll have a look at that forecast, see what we're facing here in the coming week. And in the meantime, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, please don't wait. You can call it in or text it in, 651-461-9226. We'll get to that forecast next. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you once again. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering your lawn and garden type of questions, either by phone or by text. If you'd like to call, we'd love to hear your voice. Otherwise, you can just send a text like a lot of folks are doing, 651-461-9226. Teresa, another thing we like to talk about every Saturday is the Arboretum. I'm not sure, I may be catching you unawares, but I haven't looked lately, and I got to get back out there. What's going on? There's always something going
There's
on.
There's always something. There's a class tomorrow, or a, I don't know what they call it, a class, a whatever, a presentation on sugaring, which is how they do the sap at the Arboretum. And that means that next weekend on the 26th, you can have a pancake breakfast. So okay, I haven't had breakfast yet, so that sounds really good. But there's all kinds of great classes going on at the Arboretum right now. There's a self-paced class that just started on the 11th, so you can still join up. That's planting for climate change or dealing with climate change. So it's climate-ready plants. That's what it's called. Most of the trails are kind of icy, so you might not be able to get out as far as, or be really careful if you do, but always call ahead and check. You do need to have a ticket. You need to call ahead and get a reservation to go out to the Arboretum. There's just lots of beautiful art in the art galleries. There's a wonderful bookstore. There's the conservatory, so if you just need to breathe in some nice plant humidified air and look at some pretty green plants and flowers, go to the conservatory and enjoy it. So there's just so much going on at the Arboretum right now. It's even in the middle of winter. Okay, almost spring, but in Minnesota it seems like the middle of winter.
We always like to say, and a lot of folks do that very thing, they bring friends and visiting relatives to the Arboretum. And again, reservations are online. They make it very easy, and making it parking even easier yet. So
which is wonderful. Yep, but it really is a jewel for Minnesota.
Yeah.
And bring those people who come in from warmer states and they think there's nothing to do and nothing going on and beautiful in Minnesota. And you take them out to the Arb and that'll change their mind.
Absolutely. Just go west Highway 5 to 41 and you're just about there. Texter says this, good morning. Can you talk about using shredded paper as part of a homemade leaf mulch? Is it okay?
Sure, you could use the paper. If you're making the paper's going to mat down, so I would probably mix it in very well with the leaves. And if you have something like oak leaves, that's going to be really good because oak leaves don't mat down very well. The other leaves might mat down a little bit. But just start out with a smaller amount, maybe 1 inch, and see how your plants react. Make sure that your combination of whatever percentage you're growing leaf and paper is fine. Don't use glossy paper. And most of the inks now that we're using are fine. They're soy-based, so you don't have to worry about that issue. Make sure you take like all the little plasticky windows off of envelopes or anything if you're shredding that. But I kind of think of it's a good way for security, because there's no security, you know, no thief is going to be going through your mulch looking and trying to put those shreds back together again.
That's true. That's a good point.
And you can use it in your compost bin, too. It's going to be a brown matter because it's very dry, so you'll need to make sure you're adding enough green to counteract it.
And like you said, it's a soy-based ink now.
So soy-based ink, and it's fun. Yeah. And yeah, even the colors on the comic, if anybody gets newspapers, the comics are all soy-based, just not the glossy stuff, because there's something glossy there. That's not
very good. Thank you for that text. If you want to call in your question or text, 651-461-9226. Here is another one. We received 2 3-foot-wide raised planters. Can we raise all kinds of vegetables in them, tomatoes, peas, root vegetables, etc.? Do we need to cover them to keep the deer out? Well, I'm thinking more of the squirrels and raccoons and rabbits.
Yeah, I'm jealous that you got those containers. That's wonderful. Yes, you can raise all kinds of vegetables in there. You won't have to worry about the rabbits as much because it's 3 feet high. It's going to be up higher. But, yep, just put some chicken wire around. That will keep out the squirrels and the deer. The squirrels will climb over if you don't put a top on. If you have chipmunks, you may want to use hardware cloth. But, yes, you can grow all kinds of vegetables in there. And that's just wonderful. I'm happy for you.
Well, I'd like to do that, too. That sounds neat.
Yeah, I would, too. And then you don't have to bend over so far because it's a little higher.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're concentrating all your efforts and your compost and everything in one area. And you know where your garden is. And the weeds aren't going to get in as easily.
So good for them.
Good for them.
Let's grab some phone calls, Teresa. Kevin is calling in this morning from Waseca, I do believe. Kevin, good morning. What is your question for Teresa?
Oh, very good morning to you. Mike, your remarks about fertilizer kind of aroused my curiosity. Number one is the earlier you put on lawn fertilizer, specifically nitrogen, is it better? And secondarily, I have access to agricultural fertilizer. And you said, I think I heard you say that, you know, a lot of it is filler or whatever in the bags or whatever. Is it better, or you feel get better results from buying from, let's say, an ag store versus from a big box store, mm-hmm. you know, generically?
Those Thank are good you. Questions. Yep, those are really good questions, Kevin. Thanks for those. Okay, so the earlier you put on the fertilizer for your lawn, you want to make sure your lawn is up and growing, that the soil is frost-free, obviously, then the lawn grows, because you want that fertilizer to be able to sink in. And you want to put it on at the rate that the bag recommends. That would be the same for the agricultural fertilizer. It probably is not... you may be getting a better deal because you're getting bigger bags, maybe at less money, but it will also have those three numbers on it so that you know what you're putting down, and it will tell you how to put that down, what rate to put it down at, and that will help you a lot to figure out you know, how much you need and everything else. So just like food, more is not necessarily better. You want a good balance. You don't want to over-fertilize your plants, because then you're just going to have to be cutting your grass faster, or you may even burn your grass if you put down too much at one time. So always follow the directions on the bag, and that will help you. And wherever you can get the best deal on your fertilizer, that's what you want to look for. Good luck, Kevin.
All right, good. Thanks, Kevin. Judy is calling in this morning from Bloomington, I believe. Judy, thanks for waiting. What's your question for Teresa?
My question is, we have a cabin up north on a lake, and our yard is full of dandelions. And I had heard that if you mow the dandelions down as they're coming to bloom, keep doing that, you would get rid of dandelions. Or do you have any other suggestions? Since we're on a lake, I hate to use anything.
Right, Judy, those are really good questions, or that's a good question. First of all, I'm kind of jealous of all your dandelions. Dandelions are really important for our bumblebees as they come out of of hibernation in the spring. That's one of the first flowers our pollinators can actually see out there. But I understand the issue if you don't want dandelions in your yard. Mowing them down, that would probably be a many year process. Dandelions have a huge taproot, and they have a lot of energy stored up in that taproot. So what I would suggest, if you don't want to use a chemical carefully that says it's for dandelions, a liquid chemical, that would be digging them up. What you can do, too, if you don't want to dig them up, is just get like a knife or something and cut them off at ground level. Now, they still have that huge taproot in there, and that taproot will keep sending up dandelions. But if you stay on top of it and keep cutting the green stuff, that would be like not mowing, but actually physically cutting the green that sprouts up. Eventually, after a few years, you may take all the energy out of that taproot. Mowing is probably not going to work because dandelion leaves are flat on the soil, and they will still, they'll be under the mower blade. You're not going to get them. They're still going to green. They're still going to photosynthesize. And, even the second flowers in August are usually like right at the ground level, and mowers can't get them. So it's a more of a physical thing that you're going to have to dig them out if you don't want them. But as soon as they flower, if you cut off the flower heads, they're not going to recede. So the dandelion doesn't send out roots that make other dandelions. It just has the one taproot. So you'll just have the same number of plants all the time. Good luck with that.
This listener, Teresa, says, I have a can of canova I purchased last fall. It's in a pot inside, doing well. Should I plant it outside? Will it bloom? If so, what should I do in the fall?
Okay, I'm going to take a wild guess that's a canna plant, and the canova is the kind of canna that it is. The
Probably.
Canna is the great big leaf plant. I would definitely, if it's potted up now, that's fine. Wait till the soil is warm and then pot it outside. You can put it in the ground, or you can just put it in a nice big pot and use it as the center of that pot if it's not going to pull the pot over in a windstorm. And then in the fall, just dig it up. If you want to get it and you don't want to lose the leaves, dig it up obviously before a frost, but otherwise you can let it get hit by the frost, and don't let the soil freeze, though. As soon as it gets hit by the frost, then dig up that bulb, brush it off, and then you can store it. And the Extension website will have really good information about how to store it. If you want to grow it as an indoor houseplant, then just dig it up. You can, if you want to, also just sink the pot in the ground and then just pull up the pot when you want to bring it into the house as a houseplant. Wash the pot off and the plant off really well. When you're putting it outside after it already has the leaves on in the spring, because you're probably growing it as a houseplant right now, you want to adjust it to being outside. So you would do that like you would any other plant that you're, any other vegetable, anything. You need to put it out in the sun for a few hours one day and a few hours more the next day, or set it out in the shade and bring it back in if it's cold at night. You want to get used to being outside, because right now it's living the spa tropical life in your house, and outside Minnesota is a little night. You want to get used to being outside, because right now it's living the spa tropical life in your house, and outside Minnesota is a little different when we plant our plants out in like June. I'd wait till Memorial Day to even think about planting it outside.
All right, very good. Hang on, Teresa. We'll take a quick break and be right back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. You have a question? We have a bunch of texts we can do, or if you want to call, 651-461-9226. It's a Saturday morning in the Twin Cities. We're at 13 degrees. All we're going to muster today for a daytime high is about 24. A windy day again today, but sunny tomorrow, with highs near 35. Again, 13 degrees here on News Talk A3O. This is WCCO. In the meantime, we're back with our remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, answering those questions. And Teresa, wouldn't you know, bunch of phone calls, bunch of text messages. Let us see how many folks we can help out here. Back to the phones we go. Ken is calling in from, I believe, Blaine this morning. Ken, thank you. What is your question?
Good morning. I was thinking about doing kind of a naturalization of my lawn this spring,
And I was wondering a couple things. At one time, I know the state of Minnesota was offering grants for people that were doing that. And is there a place where I can find out more information about that as far as planting clover and, a lot of other things?
Yep. Ken, those are really good ideas. What you're looking for is the Lawns to Legumes grant. I would contact someone at Metro Blooms, M-E-T-R-O, Blooms, B-L-O-O-M-S. And they will be able, or go to their website, and it'll have all the information there. Or just Google Lawns to Legumes, like legume, L-E-G-U-M-E. So that's where you're putting down the clover and things like that. And that will give you great ideas about how to go ahead and convert that. And if there's any grants left, if they're taking any grants, or if the grant program, I don't know where that is in the application. Good luck.
Okay. Thanks, Ken. Let's see who else is. Kathleen is next up here, calling in from Maple Lake this morning. Thank you, Kathleen. What is your question?
Well, my question is kind of hitchhiking on to an earlier question about the deer damage. How do we handle this when we've got junipers, yews, blue spruce, cedar, magnolias, hydrangea trees all being eaten by the deer? And this is now like the second or third winter, and in my experience so far, does not seem to be growing back. Do we need to replace these plants and these trees, or will they eventually grow back if we become more aggressive about prohibiting the deer?
If they're not growing back already, they won't grow back. Some plants will come back from growing points that are still left. Some of the pines, if they get gnawed down too far, will not. Same with the junipers and things like that. Lots of times there are growing points that can be activated. If you don't see it in one season, that means that plant will not get any bigger or grow back any differently. It's where it is. I would try to protect more aggressively if you possibly can, and then maybe think about switching over to things that aren't so exciting for the deer to eat, and hope maybe some wolves or something move in and take out some of those deers, or the hunt or deer or the hunter takes out some of the deer population too. But yeah, the deer population, it's something that we have to deal with. And I wish you all the best luck, Catherine. You can go to the website, too, and see if there's any ideas for you.
Extension.umn.edu. Boy, I tell you, Teresa, we just have a couple of minutes to go. Let's grab a quick phone call, phone call and answer from Jeannie in Randolph. Jeannie, what's your question for Teresa?
Yes, we're thinking about planting ornamental grass on the west side of our yard. And I just wondered if you recommend any particular kind. And how to plant these grasses?
Jeannie, that's an excellent idea. As long as it's full sun, plant any ones you want that you like, whether it's the miscanthus, which is not native, or any of the native grasses, little blue stem. You could plant some plants that you get at the garden center, and then maybe some tiny little plants between them that you don't pay as much for, little 2 and 3 and 4 3-inch pots, and your big ones will grow, and then eventually the small ones will grow too. But the big ones, the gallon jugs, the gallon containers will be something to look at that first 1 or 2 years till the other ones catch up, and that will help fill in the area a little more cost friendly. But yeah, ornamental grasses are great, and you only have to cut them down in the spring. That's about the only care you need. Make sure they stay nicely watered the first 1 or 2 years. Then they should be fine on their own. Good luck with that.
And before we run out of time, we only have about a minute or so to go, Teresa. Let's remind our listeners to get to the Arboretum. Make reservations online, though, right?
Exactly. Get out to the arbs, see some plants, see some ideas of what your trees look like in the winter when they're full grown, and then do get your reservations, or go to the extension.umn.edu and just get lost in all the wonderful things you can learn on the Yard and Garden page, and you can also connect with Master Gardeners there. And in May, the Hennepin County Master Gardeners will be having a plant sale, May 20th at the Hopkins Pavilion. Had to get that in there.
Well, no, that's good. And next time you're on, by all means, remind us again about
that. I will certainly do. I've got it in my notes.
That comes up rather quickly. Yeah, get on the web. Check it out, extension.umn.edu. Always a pleasure, Teresa. Thank you so much for your expertise. I know our listeners love it as well.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you. And everybody stay warm and have fun and be safe.
Absolutely. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Just a reminder, coming along next hour, Andy Lindis will be joining us once again. He'll be answering all of your home improvement questions, so get those, keep those in mind, and you can call him in or text him in as usual next hour. Just a reminder, I'll be in for Susie Jones tomorrow. She is taking some time off tomorrow morning. We will have on our health hour our guest, Dr. Matthew Puderbaugh. He is a physical medicine and rehabilitation physician in the brain injury medicine area at Hennepin Healthcare. That's what we're going to be talking about, traumatic brain injury tomorrow, concussions, things like that. So keep those in mind, and that'll be in the 7 o'clock hour tomorrow. In the meantime, here's our weather. High today, if you want to call it that, near 24. Low tonight, 6:35 with sunny tomorrow. Right now, it's 13.